Welcome, this is Sonia Riccotti, and this is audio session number 3 in the Unsinkable Bounce Back System. This session is called Master Your Mind and Recreate Your Reality. Today's lesson is going to be a very powerful one. Make sure you get ready to take notes, do the exercises, and really master the information in this session. Why? Because you'll be reprogramming your mind. The concepts and strategies you'll be mastering here will help you in your life not only right now, but forever. You'll never experience a difficult situation the same way again. In fact, you'll be able to glide through any difficult time with ease, grace, peace, and turn things around very quickly. It's the meat and potatoes of this program, and so please don't just listen to it and then cast it aside. Listen to it, do the exercises, and then listen to it again. And when I say listen to it again, I mean now and in the future too. Listen to it again in the future as a refresher and reminder of how powerful this work is and how you can master your mind and shift any difficult or negative situation quickly. First, I'd like to begin with discussing your feelings. Whenever we go through a tough time, whether it be a divorce, loss of job, health problems, money problems, whatever it is, these negative, difficult situations leave us feeling pretty bad. It often makes us feel frustrated, angry, depressed, overwhelmed, sad, scared, and unsure of what to do or how to get out of this situation. Whenever I meet with someone who's feeling any of those feelings, and I ask them, for instance, why are you so angry? Inevitably, the person tells me the reason why they're feeling the way they're feeling and say something like, I'm angry because my husband's leaving me. Or, I'm depressed because I'm financially broke and I don't know what to do. Or, I'm just really frustrated and angry because my boss just fired me and I didn't deserve it. It just isn't fair. Now, what I'm about to tell you can shift things for you very quickly. It will shift the way you feel and the way you look at any given situation. You see, when you say you're angry, frustrated, sad, or any other negative feeling about a given situation, the truth is, it isn't the situation or what happened that's making you feel the way you do. You may believe that, but it isn't true. You see, you have a situation happening in your life right now that is outside of you. So, for example, that could be your spouse leaving you, you lost your job, you're in serious financial turmoil right now, whatever that situation is. And then you feel a certain way about it. So you may feel depressed, you may feel angry, you may feel hurt, you may feel scared, or maybe overwhelmed. Now, there's actually something in between what's going on outside of you and how you feel about it. And this is important to realize. There's something in between how you feel and what's going on outside of you. And what that something is you have a thought about what's going on outside of you. Those thoughts are making you feel the way you feel. You see, it isn't the situation that's making you feel the way you do, but the thoughts you're having about the situation that's making you feel the way you feel. That's why you can have 10 people going through the exact same situation and experience 10 different reactions to it. Some people will be angry, others will be depressed, others will be happy, while others may be grateful for whatever happened. So, if you're feeling any negative feeling about your current situation right now, I want you to ask yourself, what are your thoughts when you feel that way? What is going on in your mind? Really take the time to analyze that. So, for instance, let's say someone was just fired from their job. Let's call him Alex. And he's feeling down and out and really angry. Now, perhaps his thinking is something like this. I can't believe I was just fired. I've never been fired in my life before. This is so crazy. I can't believe they did this to me. I dedicated 10 years of my life working for this, and this is how they treat me? This is how they say thank you for all my hard work? Are you kidding me? I can't believe they don't appreciate everything I've done for them. How could they do this to me? You know, it's my boss. He never liked me. He always had it out for me. He was looking to fire me right from the beginning. He's such a jerk and such a loser. I hope he ends up getting fired. Okay, first, holding on to all those negative feelings is not a good thing and is not good for you. One, it doesn't feel good. And two, if you're looking to shift your situation and attract and manifest great things in your life, it won't happen if you're generating negative energy. So what's important here is to recognize that those thoughts about what happened is what's making Alex feel the way he does. It isn't what happened, but his thoughts about what happened that's making him feel this way. He created a big story around what happened. How he wasn't appreciated, how his boss had it out for him, how his boss never liked him, and so on. Okay, first, that's his interpretation of what happened. That isn't the truth. Like they say, there's always three sides to every story. But what's really funny is that it doesn't even matter what the truth is. The bottom line is that it happened, and the sooner he accepts it, doesn't judge it, and surrenders to it, the sooner he'll be able to move forward and create and manifest wonderful, great things in his life. The longer he holds on to those negative thoughts, the longer it will take him to get over it, move forward, and achieve greatness. Now, when I say accept it, I mean accept the facts that happen and remove all the negative story he created in his mind. In this case, the facts are he worked for this company for 10 years and he was laid off. And that's it. All the other stuff he said is just his assumption and interpretation of the situation. For instance, how he wasn't appreciated, how his boss never liked him, and so on. By the way, a simple way to separate the facts from the story or the interpretation is to ask, is it possible that the other people involved in this situation would have a different version of what happened? So let's say there is his version, there's his boss's version, and let's say there's the human resources director's version. What would they say happened? Well, maybe the boss's version would sound something like this. Wow, that was the hardest thing I had to do in my life. Letting Alex go was really tough. He worked here for 10 years, and he was a great employee for that entire time. The economy has really been bad, and the human resources department has forced me to make some job cuts. We're all really going to miss him around here. And then the human resources director's version may sound something like this. These economic times are really tough these days. We've had to lay off Alex this week. He worked for the company for 10 years. It has been tough on everyone here. He's the third person we've had to lay off this month. It's never easy when we're forced to make such budget cuts, but it's necessary in order for this company to survive. Otherwise, we will all end up losing our jobs down the road. So, do you notice what the facts are? They all agree that he worked for the company for 10 years and that Alex was laid off. Everything else was different. In fact, it sounds like Alex's boss actually really liked him. So all that other stuff is very subjective and an interpretation and point of view. It isn't a fact at all. So my point is, whatever situation you're in right now, whatever situation is making you feel the way you feel, I'd like you to realize that it is your thoughts, your interpretation of that situation that's making you feel that way. Before you feel any negative feeling, you had a thought, and that thought is what's making you feel the way you feel. You want to shift the way you feel? Then change your thoughts about the situation. Change your interpretation of what happened. Do you see how you have total control over how you feel? If you're feeling miserable right now, it isn't because of what someone did to you or said to you, because something happened or because of your current situation. It's because your mind has chosen certain thoughts that are making you feel that way. So how do you change how you feel? Change your thoughts about the situation. First, you need to become aware of what your thoughts are to begin with. Become aware of what you're thinking and become aware of how negative it is. And then, and only then, can you consciously shift those thoughts to something that will make you feel better. Awareness is key. So here's an important tip or exercise for you. The next time you find yourself feeling angry, sad, frustrated, or hurt, ask yourself this question. What am I thinking right now? It's important to do some self-inquiry and question your thoughts at that moment. Again, what you're thinking about is what's causing you to feel this way. Then, once you've become aware of what your thoughts are that are making you feel that way, ask yourself another question. How can I change my thoughts about this? How can I shift my interpretation about this situation so it makes me feel good? Now, you may be thinking, well, that's easier said than done. I know it isn't easy, but with practice, it gets easier and easier. Now, if Alex wanted to change his thoughts about his situation, it may sound something like this. Wow, I can't believe I just lost my job. This really sucks. But I know this is happening for a reason. I know there's an opportunity here. In fact, I was never really happy in that job anyway. I've always wanted to change careers, and I guess now that I was forced out of my job, I can start making that dream come true. Not only will I get a better job and career, but I'll also make sure I end up making way more money than what I was making at my last job. So I guess in a way, this is just the kick in the pants I needed to really start making the changes I've always wanted to make and begin working in a career I really love. Now, do you see how those thoughts would make Alex feel better about his situation? Just by shifting the way he feels, removes all that negativity and energy he was generating. It frees him and allows him to move forward with excitement and enthusiasm. Do you see how his original thoughts were keeping him stuck and his new thoughts are making him gain clarity, move forward, and make positive great things happen? In fact, the term I like to use is, he was staring at a closed door. Alex's negative thoughts were like he was staring at a closed door. Not only was it closed, but it was locked and he was not going anywhere. You see, when you focus on the negative side of things and allow yourself to remain in that pessimistic rut, it's just like staring at the proverbial closed door. You're not moving forward or changing your situation. In fact, you're not going anywhere at all, and you're prolonging the agony and the pain. You see, anytime you blame others and complain about your situation, you're choosing to be a victim. Now, of course, if this negative event just happened, allow yourself the time to digest it and feel it, experience it, and then release it, like I mentioned in the last session. But if you're finding that a significant amount of time has passed and you're still playing the victim, you're staring at a closed door and it's time to step away from it. You see, any time you blame others and complain about your situation, you're choosing to play the victim. By playing the victim role, you're putting yourself in an ineffective and weak position. It's virtually impossible to allow incredible miracles to enter your life when you choose to remain in this negative mental state. That's why it's important to consciously reprogram your mind, shift your thoughts, and begin focusing on the positive side of your situation. Now, once you've done that, you'll automatically be stepping away from that closed door. And all of a sudden, you'll see all the open doors around you. Those are doors of opportunity. And believe it or not, those doors of opportunity were always there. You were just too busy focusing on the closed door to even notice them. You know, I have a great story to share with you. Now, if you've been following my work, you've heard this one before. But it's really worth repeating because the message is so powerful. I call it my Oprah story. Several years ago, I made a commitment to speak at a National Health Club conference in Chicago. I was scheduled to speak about low-cost and no-cost marketing ideas. By that time, I had already started my new company, Lead Out Loud, and had written my first book, which was self-published, called Mastering the Law of Attraction. I had committed to speaking at that conference a year earlier, long before I had embarked on this new life-transforming venture. Now, the last thing I wanted to do was go and speak to people about marketing ideas. All I wanted to do was inspire people to live their greatest lives. I was not very happy about the whole situation. The conversation in my head, and even to my friends and family members, went something like this. How did I get myself into this situation? Low-cost and no-cost marketing ideas? Are you kidding me? Who wants to talk about that? I can't believe I have to go to Chicago again. And for 3 days. I'm a busy woman. I can't afford to lose 3 days of my life. How can I get out of this? Maybe I'll call in sick. Maybe I'll tell them I missed my flight. You know, I dreaded the thought of going to this conference. Needless to say, I was staring at a closed door. Then I remember thinking to myself, Wow, Sonia, for someone who's always talking about the importance of being positive, you're certainly being negative right now. I immediately became aware of how I had interpreted the situation in a negative way and how my thoughts about the situation were negatively affecting how I was feeling. I knew it was important for me to recreate my reality and shift my thoughts. So I did. I decided at that very moment that not only was I going to go to Chicago and do a great job speaking at the conference, but I was also going to make this trip the best trip I have ever taken in my life. At that moment, I stepped away from the closed door. Of course, I didn't know how I was going to do all of that yet, but I knew everything would fall into place beautifully somehow. I started to think of what I could possibly do in Chicago that would make me happy and turn it into a great trip. So I asked myself, what's in Chicago? I thought about trying to get on a local TV show to talk about my new book. I thought about meeting with some people to arrange future speaking events on the inspirational topics that I'm passionate about. And then, out of the blue, it hit me. Oprah's in Chicago. I decided I was going to go and meet someone at Harpo Studios about my new book. Now, Oprah had just done a couple of shows on the blockbuster hit DVD and book The Secret, and my new book took The Secret to the next level. I mean, how perfect is that? I was now standing in front of an amazing open door that ironically was always there, but I had never noticed it before. I was so excited. The excitement didn't last long, though. I began to think about how hard it would be to actually meet with someone at Harpo. I started to doubt myself and my book, and I thought that my efforts would just be a waste of time. Shoot, I'm staring at that closed door again, I thought to myself. Shift your thoughts about the situation, Sonia. Shift your thoughts. So I quickly did. I began surfing the internet to find out who to contact at Harpo and how to contact them. It was no easy feat. In fact, it was nearly impossible to contact anyone specific there. Now, I didn't want to contact them via the Oprah website because I knew my message would be lost among the millions of emails they receive every day. So I surfed and surfed and then surfed some more for hours and hours until I hit the jackpot. I found a list of all the producers at the Oprah show and at Oprah and Friends Radio. I didn't know how old the list was or if those people still work there, but I thought I would give it a try anyway. One problem, though. I had a list of their names, but not their contact information or email addresses. Now, that stopped me for a few minutes, but there was no way I was going to give up. So I decided to try to guess their email addresses. That's right, guess their email addresses. I tried every possible email combination I could think of. They kept bouncing back to me. I felt a little discouraged, but not defeated. I continued. More than 3 hours had passed at this point, and I was beginning to go cross-eyed from staring at that computer. But I continued until, lo and behold, one email didn't bounce back. Now, I was excited. I thought to myself, oh my God, I broke the Oprah email code. I immediately began to email every single person on that list. There were at least 40 people on that list. I sent each one of them a personalized email about how I just wrote an amazing new book titled Mastering the Law of Attraction and that I was going to be in Chicago for a few days and then asked if I could meet with him or her in person. Now, once that was done, and at this point it was like 3 a.m. in the morning, I went to bed. And when I woke up later that morning, I ran to my computer and quickly looked to see if anyone responded. And one person did. The message was short and sweet. It said, I can meet with you at 2 p.m. on Thursday. It was signed by a senior producer of Oprah and Friends Radio. I almost fell off my chair. I was actually going to Harpo Studios to meet with a producer about my book. I just couldn't believe it. And you know, that meeting ended up changing my life. I arrived that Thursday at Harpo Studios at 2 p.m., and I just couldn't believe I was really there. The entire experience was surreal. I was given a Harpo Studios visitor's badge and asked to take a seat in the lobby. I was so nervous and excited. And within minutes, a handsome, casually dressed man introduced himself as John St. Augustine and took me to his office. The first question he asked me was, "So, Sonia, what brings you to Chicago?" "Oh, well, I'm speaking at a health club industry conference," I answered. "Really? You work in the health club industry?" he asked. "I used to," I replied. "You know, I used to be a personal trainer too," he said. We had something in common. We quickly hit it off. I felt as though I was speaking to an old friend. Our meeting was scheduled for 20 minutes, but the next thing I knew, an hour and a half had gone by. I found out that John produced the Dr. Oz show and the Gene Chasky show, and was an accomplished talk radio host as well as a best-selling author. He loved my self-published book. He believed that the book was going to be a huge success. However, he felt that I needed a publisher for that to happen. Now, for a brief moment, I felt deflated. I knew what a difficult task it was going to be as a first-time author to get a publishing company to publish my book. The statistics were staggering and completely not in my favor. Now, before I could even reply, he said, "Let me make a phone call for you." He phoned the company that published his book, Living an Uncommon Life, and referred me to them. Within a few weeks, I had signed a contract with Hampton Roads Publishing to publish my book, now called The Law of Attraction, Plain and Simple. It became a number one bestseller and is currently sold all over North America as well as in many other countries and in many different languages around the world. And to add icing to the cake, a few days later, John even arranged to have me as a guest on Oprah and Friends Radio on The Bob Green Show. Now, Bob Green is Oprah's personal trainer. The topic was a behind-the-scenes look at the health club industry. So as it turned out, the reason I didn't want to go to Chicago was what actually got me a radio interview. Now think about it. If I had not chosen to step away from that closed door, I would have traveled to Chicago, dragging my feet all the way there, presented my marketing presentation with a chip on my shoulder, and then returned home thinking that I had wasted 3 days of my life. Instead, I chose to focus on the open doors around me, and my trip to Chicago turned out to be the best trip I have ever taken, just as I had intended. In fact, that trip to Chicago turned out to be a major turning point in my life and my career. Now, I think that story is a perfect example of how choosing to step away from that closed door can transform your life very quickly. So now I'd like you to do an exercise. I want you to think about all the areas and situations in your life you're unhappy about, complain about, and wish were different. I'd like you to write them all down in point form. You see, you're staring at a closed door in each of those areas. It's time to step away from those closed doors. It's time to shift your thoughts and focus on the positive side of every situation. So once you have everything written down, I'd like you to take each point or statement and answer the following questions. How can I view the situation differently and in a positive way? What do I really want? Now, this takes the focus from what you don't want, which of course is negative. And what opportunities are there around me right now that will help me achieve what I really want in life? Write your answers down and then create a statement of intention that describes what you want to achieve. By doing this, you have shifted your thoughts about the situation and are focusing on what you want to achieve and not on what you don't want. This mental shift in your thought process will allow you to become aware of the many opportunities all around you. You'll be shocked at how many are right in front of you. You'll wonder how you ever missed them. So go ahead now and take a few minutes to do this exercise. Now, I know that sometimes it's really hard to step away from that closed door and find that silver lining in order to shift your thoughts, especially when you're in the thick of things and everything's falling apart all around you. Believe me, I know. Now, sometimes it takes time to find that silver lining, and with time, it will present itself. Like the old saying goes, seek and you shall find. Now, if you found that last exercise really difficult to do and you just can't seem to shift your thoughts and find anything positive in your situation to turn your thoughts around, well, there's something else you can do. In fact, this actually happened to me. When everything was falling apart in my life, where I was diagnosed with a dangerous blood clot, found myself in very serious financial trouble, lost my house, lost my relationship, and all that negative stuff, let me tell you, I wasn't feeling good. In fact, at one point, I remember I was lying in bed crying uncontrollably, trying to figure out why all this was happening to me. I was feeling totally overwhelmed, frustrated, and angry, and had no idea how I was going to get myself out of this situation. You know, for a brief moment, I even thought of ending it all. Not because I really wanted to end my life. I just wanted the pain to go away. I just felt like my heart was being ripped out of me. Now, what's amazing is that once I cried it all out and let myself feel the emotions and gave myself permission to temporarily feel sorry for myself and have a good cry, I got up. Something inside me had somehow shifted. Nothing in my situation shifted yet, but something within me shifted. I remember I walked over to the window and just stared outside, and this new thought came into my mind. This thought ended up transforming my life and eventually thousands of lives everywhere. This was the thought. I can't believe all this is happening to me. One thing I know for sure, something great is going to come out of this. I don't know what yet, but something amazing, huge, and incredible will come out of it. Something so big, way bigger than me. I'll make sure of it, because there's no way I'm going through all this crap for nothing. And then less than 2 weeks later, the word unsinkable came to me in my mind. It was like a little whisper. I thought, unsinkable. I love that. I am unsinkable. Not only am I going to bounce back quickly from this situation, but I'm going to bounce back higher than ever. And once I've done that, I'll teach others how to do it. I know what I need to do. I've been teaching this work for years now. But this time, I was given the opportunity to actually experience what hitting rock bottom really feels like, and I can now identify with all those people out there going through similar situations. I won't be teaching just from a theoretical point of view, but from experience. Wow, everything is happening exactly the way it's supposed to. I get it now. Now, by the way, in that above statement, or I guess you can say declaration, it immediately shifted something in me. It set something very powerful in motion. I'm going to say it again, because if you're in a similar place right now where you just can't find that silver lining, you can use the statement for yourself or create your own version of it. And in time, the silver lining and purpose of it all will come to you like it did for me. So here it is again. I can't believe all this is happening to me. One thing I know for sure, something great is going to come out of this. I don't know what yet, but something amazing, huge, and incredible will come out of it. Something so big, way bigger than me. I'll make sure of it, because there's no way I'm going through all this crap for nothing. Now, there's three powerful things going on in this statement, although I didn't realize that at the moment. I surrendered to my situation. I let go of what was, and I had faith in what will be. So along with shifting your thoughts, these three things are crucial to master too in order to bounce back quickly and higher than ever. So I'll break these down for you. So let's begin with surrendering. The term I use in my unsinkable book is surrender to what is. Let me tell you that if you want to stop any suffering you're experiencing right now, simply surrender to your situation. Accept your situation exactly the way it is and exactly the way it isn't. Now, you can fight it, argue it, cry about it, say it isn't fair, blame others, and wish things were a different way, but it won't change anything, and you'll just bring more suffering your way. Why should you accept things exactly the way they are? Because they are the way they are. Now, you can choose to resist what's happening, and many people do, or you can choose to accept it and surrender to it. Of course, the journey you experience will be dramatically different depending on which choice you make. For instance, imagine yourself swimming in a river, and then all of a sudden you get caught in a current. At that moment, you have a choice. You can choose to swim against the current, which no doubt is very tiring, requires a lot of effort, and will probably get you nowhere. Or you can choose to float and flow with the current, which is a lot less tiring and peaceful. By the way, when I use the term surrender, I'm not saying give up. That's the last thing I'm saying. What I'm saying is to stop the chaos in your mind about the situation. Instead of fighting it, saying it shouldn't be happening, simply accept the situation exactly the way it is. Accept it. It's happening. It is the way it is. You know, anytime I find myself stewing about something that has happened, I always catch myself and say, oh well, it is the way it is. And then I let it go. This simple act of surrendering to what is and not wishing it were any other way, which of course is futile, will dramatically affect the way you experience your current situation. You're in essence choosing the easier path. What you'll find as well is that you'll begin to gain more mental clarity when you let go of all the clutter, fog, and negativity in your mind that accompanies resistance. This clarity will help you move forward. It'll help you find solutions to your problem and make this experience a lot less painful. Now, a perfect example of this is a situation that happened to me not too long ago. As I mentioned in the welcome session, this year has been quite the challenge with losing two close relatives, my friend dealing with breast cancer, and then my dad getting really sick and was on life support in the hospital. Well, I've been through a lot of stuff over the years, but when my dad got really sick and they put him in ICU on life support, it was like the last straw. I was broken open like never before. I knew what ICU was all about. I had just watched my uncle pass away there just a couple of weeks before. That experience was still fresh in my mind. Of course, the first thing I did was let it all out. I allowed myself to feel bad. I remember I was with my brother at the hospital, and I told him I was going to go for a little walk. What I was really doing was looking for a place where I can be alone and break down. I found this lounge that had no one in it. I went in and closed the door behind me, and then I let it all out. I cried and cried and cried. The pain I felt inside of me was ripping me open. I wasn't just crying, I was sobbing. I mean, really, really loud sobs. You know the type of sobbing where you can't even catch your breath? I don't think I have ever cried like that before in my life. If anyone was walking by that room, they'd be wondering what the heck was going on in there. Now, the thought of possibly losing my dad was just too much for me to handle at that moment. I was in there for about 30 minutes. My eyes were all red and swollen. I was so tired and exhausted. Then I lied down on the couch and just stared at the ceiling and began thinking. Okay, so my dad is in ICU and he's in really bad condition. We don't know if he's going to make it. Wow, I can't believe this is happening. Okay, I can't believe it, but it is happening. So what do I need to do? Surrender. I need to surrender. Stop resisting it and wishing it was another way, because it isn't another way. Let it go. Now, from that place, I was able to begin to gain mental clarity again. My thoughts in my mind at that moment were, everything is happening the way it's supposed to. It's happening for a reason. I don't know what that reason could possibly be, but let it go for now. You need to be strong for your family. And then I went back to the ICU unit to be by my dad's bedside and be with my family. Now, the next day, that mental clarity helped me find ways that I could help my father. There wasn't much I could do medically. He had a full medical team looking after him. But there were other things I could do. I asked my community, everyone on my mailing list, for a favor. I asked them to pray for my dad's recovery. The response was off the charts. I had thousands of people praying for him. I was completely stunned. I couldn't believe that thousands of people I didn't even know were praying for my dad. Just thinking about it now, I'm telling you, really just makes me want to cry. I mean, cry out of gratitude and love. The support I received from thousands of people really helped me. It helped me get through that tough time. I would sit by my dad's bedside and read all those wonderful emails from my BlackBerry offering support, love, and prayers for his recovery. I did a whole bunch of other things, too. I got some healing crystals and taped them to my dad's hospital gown. I'll never forget overhearing one of the nurses talking to another nurse saying, "What's this? Why does he have rocks attached to his gown?" I also performed Alex Lloyd's healing codes on him. I felt kind of silly doing them, to be honest, but I figured, what the heck, I'll try it anyway. I also had Mark Romero's high vibration healing music playing in the background in my dad's room in ICU. The music was on 24 hours a day. I even asked Mahendra Kumar Trivedi, a guru from India who now lives in the U.S., to bless him. I did everything I could do in my power to help him. If I hadn't surrendered to the situation and accepted things the way they were, I wouldn't have been able to find solutions and ways to help my dad through this critical time. Instead, I would have continued to be angry, sad, depressed, and fighting it and saying, "This shouldn't be happening. Why is this happening? No, no, this can't be happening." There's no power in those thoughts and words. They would have only made me feel worse. It would have just kept me stuck. And I certainly wouldn't have been helping my dad in any way. Instead, I surrendered. I realized things are the way they are, and resisting it is completely futile. I was able to find some inner peace in the situation. I let go. And with that letting go, I was able to gain clarity and take action. Now, surrendering to your situation is important if you want to shift how you feel, move forward, and transform this area of your life. Now, although my dad was given a grim prognosis from his medical team, he actually miraculously recovered. Today, he's back home and he has 100% recovered. It's something I'm so grateful for every moment of every day. You know, there were so many lessons learned from that experience. In fact, it was a huge awakening for me on a profound spiritual level. Now, once you have surrendered and have accepted your situation the way it is, then the next step is you have to let go of what was. What this means is it's time to turn the page and move forward. I mean, really move forward. Don't dog-ear the page and then turn it, but move forward without looking back. Holding on to the past is not going to help you move forward and achieve greatness. In fact, it's going to keep you stuck where you are. Now, if you've been following my work over the years, you've heard me say this many times. The past is history. It doesn't exist. The only place the past exists is in your mind. Holding on to the negative events of the past and wishing things were different or dwelling on what happened is not going to change the past. Nothing is going to change the past. However, if you're holding on to your past and keeping it alive in your mind as if it's still happening, it will dramatically affect your present and inevitably your future too. You see, holding on to the past is like walking around with an invisible anchor attached to your leg. Wherever you go, there it is. So although you're currently living in the present, your past is always being dragged around with you. It's there whenever you need to make a decision, whenever something happens and you react. It's there affecting every move you make. Here's an example to demonstrate this. Now, let's say I was cheated on in a previous relationship with a guy named, let's say, Peter, and I was deeply hurt and scarred from that situation. Now, I believe that I'm over Peter and am ready to finally meet my true soulmate. So I put it out there to the universe asking to meet my soulmate. So I go to this party and I meet a guy. His name is Scott. Scott's a really nice guy, good looking, funny, and I really like him. Now, if I haven't let go of the past, the conversation in my head would be something like this. "Wow, I really like this guy. He seems really nice, good-looking, and funny. I'd like to go out with him." "Yeah, but be careful, Sonia. Remember how Peter was so nice, good-looking, and funny, too? And look what a jerk he turned out to be. You know, I bet Scott's a jerk, too." Now, Scott may have been my soulmate, the perfect guy for me. The universe sent me exactly what I wanted, but because I didn't let go of what was, I didn't let go of the past, I'm sabotaging not only the present by giving up on a relationship before it even starts, but it affects my future too. Because remember, he was my soulmate and we could have lived happily ever after. But instead, I just cast him aside. which when you think about it, is so ridiculous. Peter has nothing to do with Scott, but somehow I correlated the two. What I did was I turned the page, but I dog-eared the page first so I can go back to it later. So no more dog-earing the page. Just let it go. Now, the best way to let go of the past is by becoming aware of your thoughts and what you're thinking. Become aware of when your past creeps into your thoughts. Then, consciously let it go. Think of it like clouds passing through the sky. Each time the negative past comes up, let it go. You'll get really good at it with time, and eventually those clouds will disappear entirely, and you'll experience clear skies and clear the road ahead to living your greatest life. Now think about it. When a traumatic event occurs in our lives, we have a choice to make. We can suffer through it all and then quickly run back to safety and the way it was, or we can awaken and open our hearts and souls to a new life, a new awakened way of being. Often when we run back to safety, we haven't learned the lessons and grown, and there's a really good chance you're going to recycle the situation. That is, the same thing will happen again, except usually with different people and different circumstances. Now, all the people I've spoken to who have bounced back higher than ever after a crisis have let go of their past and moved forward into a new life. They didn't hold on to what was. They didn't spend their time worrying and dwelling on how it used to be and wishing it was the way it was before. Instead, they embraced their new lives and moved forward with confidence, peace, and excitement for what will be. Now, you know, actually, there are three journeys you can choose to take. You can take the safe journey, you can take the awakened journey, or you can take the in-between journey. So if you choose to take the safe journey, you're simply doing whatever it takes to get through it, ride the storm, so to speak, and running back to your old way of living and thinking. You're running to the safety zone and hoping and praying that you don't ever have to experience or suffer such pain again. Now, the safety zone isn't always the most fulfilling place to be. Sometimes it's quite mundane and purposeless, and often feelings of unhappiness and emptiness creep in, but it's safe. Now, if you choose to take the awakened journey, you're leaving the past behind you, letting go of what was, learning, growing, looking for the silver lining, and moving forward into the unknown, into a new awakened world. A rebirth of sorts. This is where miracles occur and where a new and fulfilling life is lived. Now, if you choose to take the in-between journey, you're suffering through the calamity, riding the storm, and then instead of running all the way back to your old life, you run only halfway and sit on a fence and wait. Now, when this happens, you end up being stuck between two worlds, the safe world and the new awakened world. In other words, you want to take the leap to the awakened world, but fear is holding you back, and your safe world is calling you, even though at a deeper intuitive level, you know this is not the world you want to return to. The in-between journey is probably the most confusing and difficult journey of all. When you're in the in-between journey, there's a lot of confusion and fear. So I ask you, which of these three journeys are you on right now? Now, there's a good chance you're on that in-between journey. For instance, you know you want to make a change in your life and don't want to return to the way it was before, but you're having difficulty and you're unsure of what steps to take to move in the direction of this new awakened world. You're looking for some guidance and perhaps a nudge to help you move forward, and there's a good possibility that fear is taking over as well. By the way, I just want to mention that fear is normal. Everyone experiences fear. You can't make fear simply go away, but what you can do is shift your relationship with your fear. Instead of retreating when you feel fearful, feel excited. When you feel fear, instead of backing away, move toward it. When you do, you're moving toward a new awakened life, your greatest life. Also, make sure you do this program in its entirety, and you'll see that you'll arrive to your awakened, joyous destination in no time. So we discussed the importance of surrendering to what is. We've discussed letting go of what was. And now I'd like to discuss the importance of having faith in what will be. In other words, believing without a shadow of a doubt that everything will turn out okay. And not only that, everything will turn out better than you ever imagined. Faith is what I had when everything in my life felt as though it was falling apart. Without it, I'm not sure how I would have gotten through everything. Believing in something bigger than myself, believing that everything was happening for a reason, believing that everything was going to be okay, believing that something incredible was going to come out of it is what helped me move from the darkness toward the light. You know, I interviewed many people who have transcended their challenging ordeals, and I noticed that they all talked about how they had faith and believed in a higher power. For many, it was God. For others, it was Buddha. For still others, it was Source or the universe. And it doesn't matter what you call it or what you believe in. Having faith that all will be well, that all is unfolding perfectly as it's supposed to, is a powerful place to come from. I mean, just think of a time in the past when something major happened in your life when you thought it was the worst thing that could have possibly happened. Then, a month, a year, or 2 years later, you realized it was the best thing that ever happened to you. Now, it may not be clear right now why things are happening the way they are, but having faith and trust that it's unfolding as it's supposed to can have a calming effect when you're in the midst of a chaotic storm. Have faith that it's all unfolding for a higher purpose. Be patient. The purpose will reveal itself with time, if you allow it to. So we've come to the end of this session. I know there was a lot of information shared here. Please take the time to review the session again, do the exercises, and really allow it to sink in before continuing on to the next session. The bottom line is this: once you've mastered your mind, you will master your life.